Hey, this is Ra-Ra. No promo this week because I just wanted to take a second to say thank you to everyone who's been enjoying the show. There seems to be a lot of you, and I hope you're okay. We're about halfway done with this series, Once Happily Upon Ever, and we're crazy mad-ass proud of the story we've been telling, and so far, we've gotten into the Rainbow Roll, where Feral won Best Audio Player. We're currently an official selection in the New Jersey Webfest, where we're nominated for our sound design, our concept, and just kind of our badass fantasy world. We're in the Sydney Webfest, and we were an early judge selection in the New Zealand Webfest. And for being 9 months into existing, we're totally blown away, humbled, grateful, and we have so many incredible shows already planned into next year, even dipping our foot a little into the audio drama side quest pool someday soon. I just can't say enough good things about the cast and everyone who comes to tell stories with us. They're magicians of sincerity, and I appreciate their craft and their voice. But we're all just filled to the ear holes with thankfulness that y'all are tagging along. Leave a review if you wanna, but we all know that the real reviews are the ones people leave you along the way. Enjoy the show.
The Heart is a Dungeon is a TTRPG adventure focused on loss, healing, mourning, and joy. Not all subjects are suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I hear the hammers of my kin, and I cry for their voice, their name. The mountains now close their hearts, my father, my king, my reign. Forever I'll dwell in sun, exposed to the weaker gods, but I'll wait until time is done to return to those darkened halls. We see the main hub of Overstone, a medium-sized dwarven settlement respectable in comparison to Quire or En's farm, but barely a fraction of the glory within the mountain and their mother city of Understone. There is a general store, a tavern with an inn above it, and a central hall where the chair of the valley, the king of the open air, resides. As you pull into this space, you notice that not lavish or gaudy, this town and its citizens seem to enjoy a level of abundance and comfort not found in most corners of the world. Truly, the valley is bountiful and provides enough for all. On your road in, you do see a sectioned-off home. Red ribbons stretched out to separate it from the eyes or feet of others. Somber-faced guards barely give you a glance as you pass them by and reach the center of town.
I would like to confront Egan.
What?
Oh?
Ramabam!
I would like to confront Egan!
Wait, is that like a move? Is that a move? What did I do?
Oh, I got a roll for that.
I don't know what I did. Is it because of the hypothetical murder?
It is because of the hypothetical murder.
Oh, no.
I miss. That's a five. So what goes wrong?
Egan, what do you think goes wrong? Why can Pippa not see into the heart of you?
Egan, it's like, did I not make sense? I said it was a dream. I said hypothetically murder, it's not real murder. Why blustering? Why does this have to be so big? And he just kind of backs up and starts to... I'll see you later. Debba, do you want to come? Once you calm down, you can... But if this is a problem, this happened in my brain, in a dream. In a dream, in imaginary land. It's not real. I don't think.
You don't think? That doesn't sound very
okay,
sure.
Okay, well listen, all right. Okay, it's... You know, sometimes I'm imaginative.
That's one word for it.
I didn't... Look, there's no blood on my hands. Take a peek. He shows you his hands. Couples it with a wide smile, currently full of many rows of dangerous, terrible teeth.
I think just like in choir, I'm going to follow you, but not as a security detail for you anymore. It's a security detail for everybody else.
Oh my god. I
got my eye on you.
Pippa, you wound me. Not really, not in the mechanical sense, but you wound me.
I think, like, right before Egan leaves the wagon, I, like, snatch you by the collar.
Oh! I don't... Joke's on you! I don't have a collar. I'm half naked. Ha-ha! You can grab my suspenders, Pippa, but that's a little bit forward of you, don't you think? You snap my suspenders.
I'm gonna find the first roof and go and perch. And then gaze upon my new kingdom.
You see a community that seems a little stressed. There's little pockets of people speaking to each other, glancing over shoulders and looking at other pockets of people talking to each other and glancing over shoulders as the investigator dwarves at the beginning are taking notes and going in and out of this one building. It appears something had happened here fairly recently. You did hear about the Undercity being quarantined, so this could have something to do with that, but you're not sure. It just doesn't seem like a bustling, nice afternoon with the baker going with his bread like always.
Then the first thing I do, sorry, the second thing I do is land on the shoulder of one of these investigators as they're going door to door.
How big of a Corvid are you right now?
I'd say I'm definitely bigger than a crow, slightly smaller than a raven.
Deal. He's a sturdy dwarf. You land on a shoulder armor bit of sort, and
oh, shit.
They're definitely taken aback by this assault upon them, having crossed the red ribbon. Bird? Bird?
Gah.
What are you doing here, Bird? Bless you.
Gah.
And they're looking at you a little bit like, are we about to arrest this bird?
Do they know I'm a fae, or do they just think I'm a bird?
At this point, they probably just think you're a bird, but they would still arrest you.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, I'm going to consider that a threat, and I am going to roll Spell Someone's Secrets. And I'm going to spell the secrets of the dwarf who just threatened to arrest me.
Spicy! Arresting birds, spilling out secrets.
That's a 10.
Ooh.
On a 10 plus, I choose whether I speak it in a plain language, language of the crows, or in an uninterpretable ka. Oh, I want to blurt it out.
The sound that comes out of your mouth and his voice, if we have to pick sides, I'm going to pick green. I don't want to kill my neighbors, but if we have to pick sides, I'm going to pick green. And he just looks at you, and his two guard companions kind of look at you and each other, all wondering which side each one would pick in some situation you don't understand.
Dwarves, I have grown curious. Perhaps I shall answer these questions for you.
I don't understand the consequences, but what would each of you pick?
I'm gonna roll twice more.
Instigator.
That's an 11 and 13.
Holy shit. One more yells out that he would also be in green, and then out of your voice. And then the other one yells out orange from your mouth. Three swords are drawn. And they all start like squaring off with each other. There are other guards around that look like they're gonna intervene. So as you're over there instigating ACAB, we're gonna go to Gemma and see what Gemma's doing. Gemma, you find yourself to be back to your normal size as you've traveled about a day and a half to get to this place.
I was only one step from full winter. Have I taken any steps back towards summer?
You tell me.
Well, if I hadn't already, I do think I would take a step. We're coming into town. That's always exciting. I love watching people. And I also am very excited to maybe try to hide behind one of the wagon wheels and listen to whatever's going on between Pippa and Egan, which would probably incite another step towards summer. I love drama. So I'm still a couple steps towards winter, but not as bad. But the other thing I'd really like to do is, I'm feeling like, what kind of circus doesn't have a tent? I really want to go find something to craft a tent with.
Hell yeah. How are you feeling?
I think I'm willing to let you go and just turn into a bird and fly above you.
This is how you handle things.
Caw.
Just flutter off.
Caw.
It's a boat. Don't caw. Don't you get. Seriously.
I do the bird equivalent of sticking my tongue out.
Oh, I'm watching you.
I'm watching you.
I'm journaling about it.
Seeing as, you know, there's a quarantine, how curious, how quaint, I have to know more. And I have not been in this world for very long, but I do know where lips are loosened and rumors fly, and that is the town tavern. Maybe sniff the wind? I'm afraid I'm screwing this up, because where will I... What's the opposite of that? In jail.
Oh, goodness.
That is an 8. I think I will go. I'm kind of nervous. If I trust my nose to lead me to the heart of this, where would it take me next?
Personally, on my end, I need to know what Egan would consider the heart of this. Is it what happening to this city, or is it where the city thrives? Because there's a few different stories impacting this city at once.
I think he's asking the question because he had a dream about being some sort of beast underground, stalking someone through darkened tunnels. The heart of this is not necessarily, to him, is not necessarily the pain that is being dealt, but the cause of the pain. He is looking for the inflictor.
The flame in your center flickers as though a little burst of wind came at it. Nothing threatening, nothing that could ever extinguish you, Egan. You're pulled to that hall in the center of the place, where they said it was for the king of the open air, the chair of the valley. The moment you're pulled in this direction, not in the way where you take a step, but you can feel that that is where there is a chapter, whether or not it's the next one. You also hear the sound of Lala Lemon's wings getting out of the way as one guard kills another. and then the other guard kills that one. Panting, with the sword out, just like looking at the other companions, like, they were gonna turn on us, and they just all go into a flurry of activity as Lalalemon had them all declare something that was not ready to meet the air.
Lala, you've been busy.
They were rude. I did not think it would kill. I did not ask them to kill each other.
Escalated quickly, but you know, whatever gets the job done, it's fine. A
bunch of townspeople run over and start kind of looking, but will not go past that red ribbon, of course. The sacred red ribbon. Lala cares nothing for red ribbons. Went right by. Can you imagine?
Lala notices the red ribbon and hops over to it, and with his beak, undoes it and stuffs it in his little bag.
Lala woke up and chose violence. The townspeople scoot past these invisible barriers, finally the freedom to see, the freedom to interfere with a crime scene. And they all get around this guard on the ground. One of them looks like he's trying to stem the bleeding, but it's too late, it's too late. They know exactly where to hit a full armored dwarf. And two guards lay dead as they're interviewing the other one. Like, they declared sides, there was orange, it was green. I didn't know what happened, we all just said it. We just heard it. And he's just starting to weep openly, having killed one of his companions. And townspeople are all there, and you see tensions forming with theirs. Probably was with the oranges. What do you mean, probably? Of course he was with the oranges. And there's a little shoving starting to happen near you as the crowd is starting to take their own sides in this moment.
I'm going to take this opportunity to come down from the sky to the crying guard.
Another bird.
I'm going to offer him respite instead. I'm going to transform back into my normal fey form.
There's so many birds in downtown now.
Egan, maybe we should leave.
Egan looks up like he's on The Office.
This is too much for me in the mornings.
Not that I care. You know, people are going to do what they're going to do. But if we don't want them to kill each other, we could put on a little show.
Let me try this first. Lala is going to dig out a single coin, one of his horoscope coins, and then just fly a little bit above everyone, drop it, fly back to Egan, land, and say, I hope this is enough to quell you, Ka.
Just one coin?
What a glorious amount of treasure has been shared today.
It was the least confident call I've ever heard from Lala.
Pippa, how are you comforting this guard with your role and whatnot? As you see a farmer pick up this coin, hold it between his knuckles, and just deck someone across the face with it.
Well, to this poor guard who has just incited quite the event, I have transformed back into my normal humanoid fey form. And with my lovely cloak, I'm just gonna wrap it around this poor weeping fellow and give him a pat on the head. There. It's okay. Now, what was this about orange and green?
I did roll a 7. I ask them what grief, regret, or burden they are able to forget, and invite them to step towards summer if they do so choose.
The heavy tears of a dwarf mixed with not just water but minerals, beating in the corner of his eyes like opal, like silver, just catching off that sunlight shadowed by the wings of Lalalemon. It wasn't our fault. You don't have to just say what you're thinking. It wasn't our fault.
That's right, it wasn't your fault. Now, which side?
As you say which side, we see Gemma waddling down the street into the store as a bunch of more heavily armored guards kind of come into the area with, like, clubs to start dispersing the crowd that has busted through the now missing red ribbon. And birds are landing everywhere. It's chaos down here. Gemma, what are you shopping for?
Well, I'm definitely looking for some cool fabric. Again, I love drama. Of course this is going to get my attention. I would also like to sniff the wind, but I can't help but take a little bit more animal approach. I'm like literally sniffing the wind. And that's a 9. I want to know whose territory is this and who's doing is the question I want to ask. I don't understand what this power struggle is, but it's just kind of my instinct.
The part of your water that wants to cool and refresh and bring life to is drawn towards the kingdom within the mountain, as whose territory this is. Ancient treaties carved in pillars of stone declare it the king within the mountain's territory. The part of your water that wants to drown and wants to pull down where the light will touch to see how it shines, pulls a little more towards the same hall, the same center of the town, where no guard stands outside, doors shut, and that is the two directions the water that makes up your soul are, that's the tide you are in as you're making your way to this store, ran by Lonnie Birch. Red hair with a little undercut and a septum piercing. You walk in and they are easily there, looking a little stressed out. I mean, the town's a little tense. Oi, what can I do for you?
Well, piercings. Just browsing. Is this whole chaos thing normal? Is just like that around here?
They look around, you see little tattoos on the back of their necks of little hammers and anvils. You see a sturdy dwarven hand show up on the counter and just do a little finger motion as though maybe I've got something to say.
You're looking for a bribe?
Oi, of course I'm looking for a bribe.
Really? I'm just gonna bat my eyes like really dramatically. Is there any cool fabric in here? Doesn't necessarily need to be a tent, but...
Oh, there's lovely fabric in here. A lot of the dwarves that chose to come live on the surface did so not out of a dislike for the stone and cold, but for a love of fine things that don't sit in the dark for eons, but can be out in the sun and vibrant colors as sunshine comes in through the window. So they have a wide range of cloth.
I'm just gonna start making a pile of different cool fabric. I don't know what they like. I'll just get some of everything. I'm not a very practical creature. I'm just looking for the shiniest, coolest, prettiest fabric. Anything that might be draped or used as poles. I hope one of them is better at the structural part because I'm just shopping for what's pretty.
Over your time in that space, Lonnie loosens their mouth a little bit. Then one of the nephews of the kings was killed in town. And they're not sure who, but there are two sides blaming each other. They're two different branches of an ancient dwarven family, and it appears as though some sort of civil war, or civil violence, we'll say, might take place, and that's why the guards are being so tense about things. And they would be known from, some of them have been marking shoulders with either green or orange ribbons to mark where their loyalties are.
So what's the deal with that building then, with the ribbons around it? Is that... like, disputed territory or something?
Eyes go smooth like wet river stone. No, that's just where the leader is. That's just where our king is. You know, a civic building. You don't need to go there. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Goodness. I rolled a 7 to draw them out. What are you afraid will happen if I go in there?
Hey campers, have you heard of season 5 of 5 GMs in a Trenchcoat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes, in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ho, ho, hold on. This year, I know exactly what I'm getting my sleigh, dear. Holiday gift cards from Hero Forge, with a wide range of options from tabletop miniatures, physical and digital, to 3D printed dice you design, and also custom keychains. Upgrade your gaming experience with the Pro subscription, which grants you access to new item drops a week early, and unleash your inner bard by designing wild creations, giving them the perfect mood lighting and backdrops with the photo booth tool. All that and more, starting at only $3.99 a month. Avoid those long lines and have your Hero Forge gift cards delivered straight to your email at heroforge.com.
You see flesh. Close. Zoomed up. You can't tell part, section, but that is skin. Seeds, small thorn, briar seeds, the type that twist, that corkscrew in, stop motion photography type image of these flowers, these briars, bursting out of a body, separating it like fruit left out for too long, growing into this briar patch, a familiar briar patch.
My briar patch?
If this briar patch ever belonged to someone, they would have to be dead by now, because it would have killed them. So not your briar patch, but it reminds you of it. And you see this in her as her eyes go Riverstone again, and then back to Lonnie. You know, it's just politician stuff. You don't need to deal with all that. Do you want a puppet?
A puppet?
Egan just starts playing to the audience, but acting as though they are being completely ridiculous. First of all, it doesn't sound like you're arguing over anything justifiable. You all need to calm down. Listen, I have problems, okay? I had a fellow traveling mate dump my first ever cup of tea on the ground. Did not fight successfully. Some stranger in a cornfield who was very uppity about the whole thing. Very annoying. I burnt a cornfield. A clock ate me for lunch. And he is attempting to put them off by simply being so bizarre in his tale.
The guard that swung at your head missed.
Good. And that is a 7. So I don't know. I need to see. On a 7 to 9 hit, they can remain nearby if they choose and follow along behind you if you leave.
So we'll say that your group actually gets a little separated at this moment as the guards start corralling people, like shooing them down one street, down a different street. But Egan finds himself caught up in a sea of dwarves with occasional humans and other different folks of the valley.
You, I don't care what side you're on. We're all on the same side when we drink. Take me to the tavern now, please.
You look and see that someone's tied an orange ribbon around your arm, Egan.
It matches my eyes.
Lala Lemon, what are you doing?
I fly towards Egan. I have found comfort in Egan in this moment after this violence I have caused. And I land on his shoulder and I look at the ribbon and I peck at it and undo it.
Ah. I don't know. You get them to drink. I'm going to. I don't know. This is too much for me. I'm gonna go either accidentally spread more violence or figure out what's going on. But first, I'm going to drop a few more coins and see if that helps anything.
I don't know what drinking will do to me. We're gonna find out. And I will go do that, and you go do your thing. And if there is violence, come find me.
Okay. All right. Here's. Rummages through his backpack and drops a ruby in Egan's hand.
Oh,
your allowance.
Allowance. Thank you.
And then Lala is going to fly off.
Egan, you're being whisked down the road by these people. Little coins are falling and hitting some of them in the head. Pippa, what were you doing in this moment?
Is the guard that swung at Egan still here?
It's hard to spot them because they all wear matching armor, but the one you would assume is that one you see just kind of shooing on people down a different path. The whole town's almost designed like it all flows from one central place, so there's a lot of side streets.
I'm confronting that one. Ha 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 ha.
Avenge me!
I am. That is an 11.
Ooh.
On a 10 plus hit, they have to choose whether to back down and give me my way or defy me and force my hand. I am going to go right up into this man's face and go, hey, you swung at my friend there.
I swung at a lot of people's friends today.
Ah, but you know, the funny one. You swung at the funny one. That's my funny one. I don't have a lot of friends. I get to pick on them, not you. Got it?
Who knew Pippa was gangster?
Not me actually like tearing up at this lovely defense.
He doesn't back down because he's afraid of you. He backs down because he realizes this will take some effort, and there are dozens that will take much less effort that he can deal with. So he just kind of nods his head, but just goes off to rough up some others.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. And I swish my cloak and I go to follow Egan.
Do you want a puppet?
I mean, like, are you offering to sell it to me? How much?
This will cost something you treasure.
But I don't even know if I want it yet.
And it just looks like a very wooden, plain, almost marionette model. It doesn't have any features. It's just round wood, round shoulder parts, right? Just a very plain wooden puppet.
Is there anything weird about its eyes? Anything stone-like?
It doesn't even have eyes.
That's suspicious, too.
Which one would be more suspicious?
Can I size them up?
The puppet?
The doll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven. I'm going to very intently look this little doll in the face and ask it, what do you intend to do if I take you with me?
Amazing. You see a small little keyhole, and without anyone touching it, you just draw out your will, your force upon this thing, and the key turns just a few notches, and the puppet stands and starts doing this little dance where it's just raising its arms above its head and tilting it back and forth, no music, no facial features. It is just wood, round wood dancing at you.
Wow, you're horrifying. How much?
Something you treasure.
Well, as a rule, I don't carry those things with me.
That's fine. We'll keep it here.
I'm going to take out my little journal and draw it as fast as I can, and shove it back in my bag, and... Oh, it looks like there's something happening outside. I wonder where my friends went.
I will need Egan to roll me just any die and tell me if it's the top half or the lower half of that die to see if you broke any glass during all this being whisked away by the crowd.
I'm gonna roll. Do you just want me to put 1d6?
Yeah, just tell me if it's a 1 to 3 or 4 to 6.
All right. It's a 1.
Somewhere in all this distress, being pushed by the crowds and to duck under guards, you feel a slight prick on your hip as you realize 3 glass vials you had have been cracked, and they look like they're going to open soon on their own.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh gosh. Trees. I need open. I'm kidding about the tavern. I can't go right now. I'll meet you later. Rain check.
Somebody in the crowd just yells out, "Trees."
Is it open spaces?
Space.
No, not space. I don't mean like space. I mean trees. Like space. Stop it. You're not being helpful.
A guy from Team Tree and Team Space each hit each other.
Oh, please. What is the deal?
I think I'm going to fly down now and assist Egan and make everybody blanket.
Alrighty.
It's cracking, Egan.
That was very bad. That's bird eyes.
That's a hole on the die.
He's just frustrated and he's going to try to vanish out of the crowd somewhere else and just run... Even just run back from where they came, just on the road, just anywhere.
I will let you do that, but at the same moment you begin to do that, Pippa's move to make someone blink and the doubles. I'm going to go with the, they thought they had something well in hand, but know they've lost their grip on it when it comes to Egan with the glass.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Because of the fail on that. So Egan, try your move, but as you're doing it, know that that is going to open either right after you succeed or right after you fail.
We're gonna blow up this town. Oh no.
I didn't do nothing. I went shopping.
Thank goodness for my bonus there. It's a 7. So it still kind of works because it says I'm nearby just invisible. So it might give me a better shot.
How does it look when you vanish and reappear just behind one of these buildings in a more private spot?
It looks like the moment you blow out a candle. I blur in the air just for a second and just lean to one side, and it's almost like I melt into that wind and it just carries me to where I would prefer to be.
Egan makes a wish upon themselves, and suddenly they are somewhere else. Crack. They're open. You see 3 tiny little pixie-type figures, ears going down to what would be almost armpits on like a humanoid, very long, elongated, wearing very simple, loose tunics, getting up and stretching, looking around, looking up at you. And 1, and 2, and 3. One of them starts playing this like guitar. There's a little bongo from the third one. And then the main one in the front starts singing
bards.
About your heart.
I love bards.
And how hungry it is. Yes, to swallow, but also to love. And how your heart craves a coldness just to complement it. And you feel yourself being moved towards winter, just hearing this song. They don't mean it with any hostility. They're just forced to sing the sadnesses of yourself. It's groovy, baby. They're just jamming.
It's groovy, but it hurts.
Add them to the circus lineup.
You don't love yourself.
I think as in a very... It's just because it cinematically looks very cool to me, because I'm holding them in my hands. And I think as they continue this song, you see Egan's fingers elongate into a dangerous curve, high, with dark claws at the end. These seemingly now weapons are holding this merry band of musicians. And in this moment, it's the fight of an urge not to crush. He feels it. He feels the pull of something harmful, but he's been invested in these few for some time now. And it's good to see them out. He didn't really have anything to worry about.
Nothing to worry about. As you're holding Josephine and the Frostburns, stepping all the way towards winter.
All the way?
All the way.
Well, that depends on how long you listen, to be honest. Pippa, you see Gemma stepping out of a store, holding a bunch of cloths, Egan suddenly gone. But you know how Egan is.
I'm running over to Gemma. Gemma, hi.
Hi, I found stuff, and I'm much brighter than I was when you saw me before. Want to help me make a tent? Where's Egan? Just completely oblivious to the chaos going on around me.
I'm so glad you found stuff, because I've lost everyone.
I'm sure they're... I mean, how far could they have gone?
I have no...
I think we need to burn that thing down over there, though, so we need Egan.
We need to burn something? Why do we need to burn something?
Well, I'm pretty sure there's something bad in that... Like, just gesturing towards that house in the... where Lala was...
big double doors, and you start to see people gathering in front of it. Two separate sides gathering in front of it, and almost yelling at each other as there's a path right down the middle towards the door.
I would not go over there right now. I think we should go.
Get Egan so we can burn it down.
I agree with one of those.
Hey, let's go. I'm just, like, piled on with fabrics and stuff.
Here, let me help you carry this.
You see a third faction of dwarves coming down another road with little bands that have the shape of a black crow on it. They're like, the crow is right. We just need to get to the truth of it. And they're all armed, also going to enter the fray.
He started a cult. Lala has started a cult.
This is their kingdom now.
We need to go get Egan.
No, it's that building, I think. There's, bad briars in there.
I don't disagree that that building is bad. Let's find Egan.
I just start screaming, Egan!
Egan!
Yes!
Egan!
I'm definitely not crying. I'm nearby.
Egan!
Tiny little magma tears. Coming out of his eye. But like, he's not actively crying, he's just leaking.
Offer you a handkerchief.
I would, but you should
just like start dabbing your face.
Thank you. It's going to burn. Put that out!
Has Egan felt a heartbeat before?
You mean his own or someone else's?
Both.
For a moment once. Yes.
You all see Egan and Josephine and the Frostburns. And Egan, you feel a warmth in you that isn't meant to eclipse. It's supposed to sustain a strange, calmer form of burning that is supposed to be fed and kept and tended to slowly for generations, for years, not to just burn itself out in one forest fire or a tower or a lighthouse, whatever you want to burn. And for the first time, you feel a doo-doosh, doo-doosh, as Josephine and the Frostburns are going into a good one about how no one sees your eyes because they're afraid of you.
Maybe we've gone a little bit too far. Maybe you should go with Josephine. Josephine, you're very charming, I swear. You're very, very, very charming. But I think it's time you go sing for someone else.
Would you like to come into my pocket? I have a lot of pockets. They're very cozy.
Single file. Almost like a Dr. Seuss cartoon. They just walk straight through the air into Purple Pippa's pocket. The music getting quieter and quieter until you can't hear it. But if you put your ear up to the fabric, they're jamming in there about your deepest fears.
I think just if we're in some sort of alleyway or some nook and cranny of the city, I feel that he finally like loosens his hands and he's just staring at the wall opposite him, labored breathing for seemingly no reason.
The sounds of violence through other parts of the city. Blade against blade, not just club against skin.
What is it that you needed me for? To do? I need to do something. Please.
Gemma!
Gemma's not really a stranger of violence or afraid of it, and just catching you in this moment, gonna lock eyes a little intensely, and then almost to lighten the mood or something, gives you this big, ridiculous smile with all kinds of crazy fang teeth. Oh, want to go burn down a building?
Which one?
The big one over there.
Oh, you know what? I had a bad feeling about that one.
The whole town gathered in front of it almost at this point, surrounding it as these two sides, three now counting Lala Lemon's new cult of anarchy. It's almost skirmishing, almost violence breaking out, one or two little cuts, a hit, then they pull back again. It's like they're trying to control themselves, but it's like a fire that's blown on. It just pulses brighter each time. There's still a path all the way through to reach the door.
They didn't seem to want anyone to go inside.
Not violence anywhere else. It's all centered around that very suspicious building.
I'm pretty sure there's nasty briars in there.
Oh, like the ones at the farm.
No, not like those ones.
They're in love with that one. That one's different. That one's different. Yes, it's not like a normal briar. You know, those are fancy briars.
Right.
These briars...
not like other briars.
These might be the, like, infectious disease variety.
The infectious disease variety of briars.
Briars don't hurt people.
No, but they do take down fences.
Hurt briars hurt briars.
Hurt briars hurt briars.
Who did the fence have to hurt to come into existence? A tree was murdered for that fence. I fail to see the comparison.
Fair point.
Let's go burn down that tree corpse.
Let's go burn down the tree corpse.
I wonder if anyone would stop us. We could just try.
You have a habit of knocking on doors, so wouldn't be out of character for us.
That is true. There is a path.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Gemma, with her arms filled with fabric and the small little trip-hop shoegaze coming out of Pippa's pocket. You walk through this path and no one touches you, no one addresses you or looks at you. You can feel the violence growing the closer you get to the building. Each step you all take, you hear it erupting in a new wounding. Or a new yell, a new weapon is drawn that was being restrained before. It's almost like this bloodlust is overcoming them the closer you're getting to the door. But no one harms you. No one tries to stop you.
This is spooky.
Egan's a little bothered. He does like to be noticed. Yeah, he's like, they're not even gonna, like... look,
Peppa's perfectly happy.
Say, no, stop, don't go in. It's dangerous in there, nothing at all, really.
Which is why you should burn down the building, because then you'll get some attention.
That's true! Should we meet the briars first? Really, I think you should meet them before we judge, because, you know, we've met them before.
Gemma talks to briars all the time, though.
Don't you talk to plants? I mean... briars specifically, not necessarily, but, I mean, you say hi to your neighbors.
Plants don't really like me.
Why? Have you ever seen an echinacea flower? They will only flower once they've been exposed to briar.
Oh, I did not. Well, I would love to meet one, if we ever happen across one.
You're having this conversation on the steps while, like, behind you.
Oh, yeah.
On the in the front of the door. Quiet down. Quiet down, please. We're trying to have a conversation, okay?
This is rude.
Die quietly. My God.
Don't be so dramatic.
Is the door locked? I just want to try it.
The door is unlocked as you hear die quietly ring out, which should be one of our like bumper sticker slogans for the series.
Are we making a horrible mistake right now?
You are opening a door right now. There's nothing you are making. It's dark, yes, but there is a fire and a fireplace. You see wooden hall, like deep, dark, reddish woods. Elegant and lovely, massive and wide, like there would be feasts and weddings and things like that in here. And you see one distant, dark chair throne type of shape, but it's in the shadow of the fire from this far out. You'd have to step into the building.
Hello? Any briars in here?
Pick up.
I don't know if it's a good idea to go in there.
Didn't say no.
Yes. Better to ask forgiveness than permission.
That might be suspicious. I mean, if you guys want to go in, I'm like shrinking back behind you to let you go first.
Do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. You first.
Is that how they get you? You just walk in and then...
I don't know. I asked what would happen if I went in there and they showed me a body getting like icky with nasty briars. So I don't know if it's a good idea to go in. I was just gonna burn it down, honestly, so...
The immediate floor in front of me, there is open space to enter. He saunters in, respectfully, not nonchalantly, but with some level of reverence, but also some brevity as well, like he's a pleasant person to be here. Hello, we're new in town. We just wanted to come say hello, and extends one toe and does a deep bow into the lean, and with it does a fiery flourish to kind of make it a presentation. So that is a 9 to greet someone with honest pleasure.
The door slams shut.
Oh no.
Hear the sound of moving pieces, like root against root, rock breaking, flesh gardening. In front, your eyes can't handle what you see on the throne as the shape, just almost like white static, just violently tweaking and changing in front of you, making you nauseous, eyes going red, and it all fades to black. And you just hear a, unfinished business. We have no business.
Hi, I'm Feral Moonbeam. You can find me on Blue Sky and the Heart is a Dungeon podcast, and sometimes I draw things.
Hello, I'm Kelly, also known as the Kellhop on most places in the internet. I play games in places, and I hope you come watch them.
Hi, I'm Mika, and I do things. I'm a Brazilian-American content creator and AP performer, best known for creating Roll D5, R-O-L-E D5. We are a Twitch channel that specializes in playing indie TTRPGs. You can mostly find me there, or you can check out my link tree, which is Mika McIntosh, M-I-K-A-M-C-I-N-T-O-S-H. That's linktree/Mika McIntosh. Mika like the singer, McIntosh like the computer, minus the A. Kisses.
Hi, I'm Zoe. I am a voice actor, and you can find me at Zoteo Potato on Twitter or on my website, zoedlee.card.co.
Hey, I'm Rara. I show up in a lot of games, and I run this podcast. You can find me most places under some sort of Rara. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for joining our circus.